630 Chad presents The Elks This Week. A close-up look at the Elks and the Canadian Football League. Every week, we take you inside the game. From the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad. Here's Morley Scott.
And a good Saturday morning to you. It's Dave Campbell in for Morley Scott on the Elks This Week here on 630 Chad. It's semifinal weekend in the Canadian Football League. It should be a couple dandy matchups. First in the East semifinal, Montreal Alouettes at home to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. There isn't a team hotter in the CFL than the Tiger Cats, winning four of their last five games. And out west, Nathan Rourke and the BC Lions against the Calgary Stampeders. And Rourke played a little bit last week in Winnipeg, played over a quarter, didn't really use that surgically repaired foot all that much to, as far as mobility is concerned. Looks like this time around, he may use that weapon a little bit more, looked more comfortable in practice, according to reports. But, the Calgary Stampeders, no team sacked the quarterback more than the Calgary Stampeders in 2022, and they're going to want to test that mobility of Nathan Rourke. There's no question about it. So it's either a sink or swim, I think, if you're the Calgary Stampeders, of course. The Elks, unfortunately, they're not in the postseason. Doesn't mean they didn't have some pretty good performances from individual players. And a couple of those were honored this week in the Canadian Football League.
Cornelius will turn, pulls the ball away from the running back, looks downfield, going deep with the arc, and oh my goodness! What a catch by Kenny Lawler! He was like Superman, stretching out to take that one out of the air.
This time he'll block, but not good enough. There's a sack. Rourke goes down. Welcome back, Jake Ceresna. He does the barrel roll, and the Elks force a 2-and-out.
Congratulations to Elks receiver Kenny Lawler, defensive tackle Jake Ceresna, the two Elks on the Western Division All-Star team. Lawler, 894 receiving yards, five touchdowns, and averaged 74.5 yards per game. Lawler limited to 12 games because of an ankle injury and ultimately a collarbone injury suffered on October 1st against the Alouettes at home, which ended up being the last game he would play this season for the Elks. Ceresna, he had early season shoulder injury that knocked him out for six games. Then he came off the six-game injury list and just went off. He had 10 quarterback sacks in 12 games. That's the most out of an interior defensive lineman in the Canadian Football League. Sadly for Tristan Descoutes and a number of other All-Stars that thought they were All-Stars, ended up not being All-Stars. The CFL had a miscalculation error, tabulation error, and it sounds like they just weighted too much of the fan vote in the voting by the Football Reporters of Canada and the nine head coaches in the CFL. So they recounted, which they should have done, and they did. And unfortunately for Tristan Descoutes and a number of others, they are not an All-Star. So not a good look for the CFL, even though they did do the right thing and recount and correct the error. So coming up later on the show, we'll hear a conversation I had with Trey Ford, the Elks' eighth overall draft pick from this year's draft out of Waterloo, won his very first start of his CFL career back on July 1st, Canada Day, against the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and then unfortunately got hurt on the first series at home on July 7th against the Calgary Stampeders. Didn't see him for 2 months, and then he started the game, the final game of the season, on October 21st against the BC Lions. Get his thoughts on the season. And coming up right away here, we talk about All-Stars with Kenny Lawler and Jake Ceresna. Well, I think this guy is a future CFL Western Division All-Star.
The ball's going up the middle to Brown. Oh, man, he gets around the corner to the 30. He gets to the 35, the 40, the 45. Still on his feet. What a huge run again by Kevin Brown. I love this kid.
And I know you love that kid as well. Out of Incarnate Word in San Antonio, the Elks have had their eye on Kevin Brown for a while. And he came in, finished 11th in the CFL in rushing yards, 486, ranked 5th on the team in receptions, and also had a scintillating 92.3% catch rate in 7 games. The Elks nominee for the most outstanding rookie in 2022. Last week, he signed an extension, 2 years, and he spoke with Morley Scott.
With Edmonton Elks running back Kevin Brown, who burst onto the scene this year with the Edmonton Elks, and for that was named the Elks Rookie of the Year nominee yesterday. Kevin, first off, tell me about your thoughts on that, getting the nomination for Rookie of the Year.
I'm honored, first and foremost. And I didn't think I was going to get it, but, things happen. And then I'm just honored.
Tell me about your season. You, like I said, you really burst onto the scene with this team. You came in right around Labor Day and started to play and put the numbers up right away. How did the season go for you?
The season went well for me. There's still some more things that I need to work on. But, you know, I just came in there with a chip on my shoulder just to prove myself. And I still got a lot more to prove.
Why did you have a chip on your shoulder?
And coming in as a new guy, I feel like I needed to prove myself that I'm worthy of being able to play at a high level in the CFL.
You had a great finish to the year. The first half of the season, though, how was that for you? You were at home waiting for the phone to ring. Was that a difficult period for you?
It was. It really was. You know, sitting there waiting, thinking I was going to get a shot, haven't heard anything for like months or weeks. And at one point, I almost decided to, you know, hang up my cleats for good, you know, and just to look for a job. But then I got that call, and then that changed everything.
Tell me about the contract. How happy are you to get that done early in the off season? And so, you know, you got your off season and you know where you're going to be next year.
Yeah, that's a great thing, you know, knowing that I have a home to come back to. So I don't have to worry about that while, you know, I'm back home training. So that can ease, put some ease to mind. And it just feels great. I'm excited to be back and see what we can do.
You've been to a lot of camps, NFL and stuff, and looking for a place to play. You finally got one. You got a 2-year contract extension now. Is it nice to kind of set down roots and not only make a commitment to a team, but get a commitment from a team for you as well?
Yeah, most definitely. And to build a name for myself, you know, to make a stamp on what I can do and possibly put my city on the map.
The numbers you put up were so good this year. I think you're on pace, if you played 18 games and started all 18, about 1,200 yards, which is a terrific season. You kind of made it look easy at times this year. What was the key to your success in your mind?
The key, I'll give it up to the O-line first, you know what I mean? Because without them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do so well. So, you know, give it up to them for, you know, getting that push, getting me to the second, third level. And then for me, it's not letting anybody tackle me one-on-one or by first contact, you know? Try to stay on my feet, beat them with speed, my acceleration, you know, and just be relentless on not going down.
After what you did this year, how excited are you for next year?
Oh, I'm very excited, knowing what I can do and just building on that and hopefully exceeding that standard that I had done set for myself. It's going to be great.
What's up for the off season now? Where are you going to spend it?
I'm going to spend it here at home, training, you know, getting better, working on my craft.
And will you train differently this year now that you know you got a place to go at training camp and you know what next year looks like and you had some experience in the Canadian Football League and you kind of know what's expected of you? Do you change how you train a bit?
Yeah, just a bit. I'm going to focus more on, you know, things that I need to work on for sure going forward. But I'm also going to, you know, keep it to the basics, you know what I mean?
What are some of those things you want to improve on?
Fast twitch muscles, work on acceleration speed, working on balance, contact drills, you know, stuff like that.
Well, it's pretty impressive when you hear a talent like Kevin Brown, who came on the scene and was just like gangbusters in the Canadian Football League, says he wants to get better and has things to work on. That is a pretty exciting prospect and scary, hopefully, for the opposition as well, as the Elks looking to build a solid core going into the 2023 season. Of course, Dylan Mitchell recently signed as well. The Elks receiver just phenomenal in 7 games with finished third on the team in receiving yards in just 7 games, had 6 receptions of 30 yards or more. So he and Kevin Brown proving to be a nice duo. Of course, one a receiver, one a running back, but still, that's nice to have on your roster for sure. My name is Dave Campbell, and for Morley Scott this Saturday morning on the Elks This Week here on the Voice of the Elks 630. Chad, when we come back, we'll catch you up on some signings, including a signing of a very significant Canadian linebacker of the Elks going forward for the next couple of seasons. And then you'll hear my conversation with Trey Ford, Elks' eighth overall draft pick, and won his first CFL start on Canada Day in Hamilton. This is the Elks This Week on Elks Radio 630. Chad.
More football talk on the Elks This Week. Here's Morley Scott on the Voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad.
Welcome back. Hope you're enjoying your Saturday morning. Appreciate you spending some time with us here on the Elks This Week here on 630 Ched. Well, the Elks made some signings this week. The most significant, Adam Konar, Canadian linebacker, 29 years old, signs a two-year contract extension. It'll take him through to the end of the 2024 season. He played all 18 games. That's probably the most significant stat for Adam Konar, who has been a very good linebacker in this league, started many games, especially in his first stint as a member of the Green and Gold. He was drafted in the third round in 2015, but hasn't been able to stay healthy. Well, he did this year, and he finished second on the team in defensive tackles with 52, also with pass knockdowns with 4 in all, had 69 defensive plays. That was good for third on the Elks. Also signing Cole Nelson, the former fifth overall pick in the 2021 draft, and he played only one game last year and played 9 the previous year in 21. He is a defensive lineman. That's how he was drafted, or that's the position he was drafted by the Elks, but he was flipped to the offensive line in training camp and spent a lot of time with the O-line, as Chris Jones likes the athleticism from a big man, so he can play both ways. So he, of course, Jones covets that. So Cole Nelson comes back, the former U of A product. And also another player out of the program of Incarnate Word in San Antonio. Kevin Brown signed earlier this year. I mentioned in the first segment how good Kevin Brown was. Well, hopefully Trevor Bigue will be good as well, as he played in 2021 for Incarnate Word, 46 catches, 620 yards, and 3 touchdowns in 13 games. He also went to McNeese State University from 2017 to 2020. And the Elks also signing Scooby Carter. I love the name already. Played for Mississippi Gulf Coast, the defensive back, in 2021. Recorded 13 total tackles and 6 pass breakups in 5 games. Well, Trey Ford provided some thrills in his limited action. He won his first start in Hamilton, if you remember.
Ford with it. He'll throw complete. Over up, Edmonton. Touchdown, Elks. Ford's going to take off himself. He'll get the first down to the 35, to the 30, to the 25 before he goes down. Flags coming out all over the place. Ford takes the snap, looks, throws. He's going to the back of the end zone looking for Dylan Mitchell. He's got it. Antler up, Edmonton. Touchdown, Elks.
Yeah, those last couple of highlights from Trey Ford from the final game of the season a couple weeks ago against the BC Lions on October 21st. Beautiful run and a beautiful fade throw to Dylan Mitchell for an early touchdown. But Ford, you know, it was an interesting year. And sandwiched in between that start in Hamilton, the win, and the loss against the BC Lions was that July 7th game when he hurt his shoulder on the first possession, offensive possession for the Elks. I had a chance to speak to Ford after garbage bag day just to reflect on the season.
This day, not fun, but I mean, describe just the feeling of looking around the locker room, you know, giving hugs to guys and handshakes, and you know, you never know who's going to be back in 23, and that's always weird.
Yeah, you never know, but I mean, at the same time, you obviously create relationships and friendships here. And I know it was, you know, 20 weeks, which isn't super long, realistically, in, like, the grand scheme of things. But there's definitely guys that I've bonded with. I'm hoping I'm back next year. I'm hoping a lot of the guys get a chance again next year. And I'm hoping to see them again when I get back. So,
you know, in training camp, when it started, there was a lot of optimism. You were one of the young guys that were coming in with a group of veterans. And I know you're coming from a youth sports program. You're the 8th overall pick, the highest ever draft pick from a quarterback in CFL draft history. describe what it was like coming in, the early part of camp and just kind of learning the pro game with a bunch of other guys that were learning the pro game along with you.
Yeah, it's actually it's kind of a crazy feeling because obviously there's like schools like Alabama, LSU, all these really big name schools, and I'm from Waterloo, right? Small school.
Where is that?
And yeah, so you get here, and then you look around the locker room, and everyone's like, oh, I'm from Alabama, or I'm from here. And it's just like you're in the same locker room as all these guys that were at these big-name schools, and you guys are getting ready to go out there and compete on the field together. And it kind of puts things in perspective for me because, you know, those are always people you would look up to. Mm-hmm. Watching them on TV and everything, especially coming from like Canadian football, you'd really, like, idolize those guys. And being in the same position them is kind of cool.
Do you have any idea how many quarterbacks were here at one point? I think I lost count.
I think it was 8 or 9 or something like that. Yeah, so, those were long days, too. And, I mean, those training camp days, everybody's out there gassed. And as a quarterback, you're like, not bad. I only got like 8 reps today on the whole day, and the receivers are all gassed and everything. So,
speak about how the club had confidence in you as a quarterback, because, you know, the talk around you, well, Trey Ford's a good athlete and he can run, but we don't know if he can be a quarterback. And the club said, no, we went to the pro day in Buffalo, we saw you throw, and they like what you can do, obviously, with your athleticism. What did that mean to you that they identified you as a quarterback and they want to develop you as a pro quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot to me because obviously I've been working towards it my whole life, and I'm just extremely grateful that Chris Jones has given me the opportunity to do this. So
let's go back to Canada Day. Describe when you got the tap on the shoulder from the coaching staff saying, Trey, you're going to start that day. I mean, what a moment. You're halfway between your college and halfway between home.
Yeah.
And you handled the moment pretty well. But tell me from the moment of you knew you were going to start, from the week of prep to the game. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was definitely nervous, obviously, for getting that first CFL start. But I think it did make it a little bit easier. It was going back to Hamilton, and I had a ton of friends and family there, which, they were all in the stands, which made me feel better, even though I couldn't find him out there. But it definitely made me feel more comfortable that they were there. And, I just approached it like any other week, and I thought I went out there and did pretty well.
And sadly, you got hurt the next week. And I think, you learned at that position, in your position, you're going to get hurt. But sadly, you got hurt. So what was that like to deal with? And just now you're a professional quarterback who's injured, and that's never fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to adjust to injuries in general because, I mean, I missed 9 weeks, I think it was, and I don't know if I've ever missed a football game before that, right? So it's definitely hard to learn how to, recover from an injury and still be productive while you're hurt. But, I mean, there's a lot of learning, stepping up to the next level. Being in a backup quarterback role, like, that's something I've never really done before, right? And then getting hurt on top of that. So there's a lot of things that I've had to adjust to throughout the my rookie year, but I'm excited to see where next year goes.
You got to take a benefit out of it.
Yeah.
Got to find the way out of it.
Yeah.
What was the way out of it for you?
Honestly, it was just preparing myself, especially when I got hurt. It was preparing myself for when I did get another shot, which was yesterday. I feel like I definitely could have prepared a little bit better because I feel like I could have done more in the field yesterday. Missed a couple throws. Communication was okay, could have been better, but there's definitely a lot that I feel like I could have done to help us win that game yesterday.
Did something click in that fourth quarter? Because you were slinging.
Yeah, the fourth quarter, we kind of got into a hurry-up offense, so it was more of our basic and simpler stuff, which I feel like was probably better for me. That's the stuff we've been doing since day one when we got here in training camp. So I've had a lot of reps at those kind of plays versus, install when you try to game plan. It changes week to week. And you don't get as many reps, and we had the short week. So it's definitely a lot harder, to be on perfect timing and get a great feel with your offense when you do it week to week like that. But, I mean, that's the professional game. You have to be able to adjust to teams' defenses.
All right, off-season plans. And when do you start getting ready for 2023 training and getting in the book and things like that?
Well, the train is going to start right away, but honestly, this is going to be pretty crazy off season. So, I mean, I have a baby coming in December.
Oh, congrats.
So, and I'm going to be in so many different spots. I'm going to be in Sudbury for a little bit, and then I'm going to be in Niagara Falls and back in Sudbury, and then probably do some traveling in, like, January, February to go train.
So, a very interesting year for Trey Ford, who was basically a sponge this year and had to spend a lot of time on the sidelines because of the injury, won his first start, and lost his final start of the season, only his third in the CFL career, and but a lot of things to look forward to for Trey Ford, and congratulations on the baby as well. So a lot of fun stuff coming up for Trey Ford and this football team in 2023. And the quarterback position will be something to be looked at as well with Ford and Taylor Cornelius. And don't forget about Kyle Oxley in the mix as well. So it's semifinal weekend. Enjoy the games. Of course, the Hamilton Tiger Cats visiting the Montreal Alouettes for the right to play the Toronto Argos in the East Final a week from tomorrow. And the Calgary Stampeders visiting Nathan Rourke and the BC Lions for the right to play the Bombers the following week in the West Final. Have a great Saturday, everyone. Morley is back next week.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.